This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Brits on You at the Table with Barry and Mariana. Barry, we've both had a read of Alan Morris's, the chair of NZ Bridge's newsletter. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh God.
That good, is it? Let's do it. Let's say that word, the online bridge. They've picked a weekend in every month from May to November. That seems pretty fair. In terms of Hamilton, we don't get a chance to host any online tournament. I know New Plymouth's got a bonus on their weekend. They're running two events, so they've picked the right date. So the tournament schedule, have no idea. We may need to relook at it. They're asking for feedback.
I mean, there's 4 months in the year, Mariana, and we've only got 6 months of the year with online bridge, which is a bit disappointing for the fans. But hey, look, the people that don't like online bridge seem to be getting their way here, I guess. I better be careful what I say.
But everyone likes online bridge.
It's not compulsory yet.
I know. It seems to be an ongoing saga, really.
A bit disappointing to the Hamilton Bridge Club, which has always been quite supportive of online bridge and had some pretty good turnouts.
Our bridge club doesn't get any online opportunities, which is a real shame. We did have the opportunity to host online. We were running a tournament, the North Island Pairs, for Waikato Bay's region, but yep, the powers that be have thought that they would do it themselves for the region. They've got their own reasons for doing that. So Waikato Bay's region is actually running the tournament themselves, and Hamilton hopefully will retain that tournament for next year.
Actually, I don't think that happens, Mariana. Don't we only get it every end year or something?
We get it every other year, but since we didn't get it this year, does that mean we have to wait 3 years before we host again? Seems a bit unfair.
I'm afraid. I think it probably does, Mariana. So anyway, I think the Waikato Bay region's probably well aware that online tournaments are pretty popular, and they'll get a lot of entries for that. You know, I mean, a good example is the North Island teams. $160 to enter, and you had to get to Wellington to play in it. They got 22 tables. Good, strong field, I'll grant you, but, you know, South Island teams online, 58 teams entered. Dark contrast. So the winning team, Mariana, was the Ackerley team, who had a huge finish. They had a huge victory in the last round over your friends in the Weir team, getting up to win David Ackerley, Scott Smith, Sam Simpson, and Joe Simpson. So they got up to win by 6 VPs in the end. From the Davies team, who also had a big win in the last round over the Alabaster team. It was Kate Davies, Murat Genk, Anne Somerville, and John Patterson. And the Shoemaker team, a bit unlucky because they've been in or near the lead for the whole event, and they just didn't have a great last day and wound up third. It was Tim Shoemaker, David Skipper, Joe Tislevold, and Leon Mayer.
Pretty good results for Murat and Anne. They've really found their straps, haven't they?
Indeed. So what's interesting is that although it was a strong field and it was a well-run event by all regards, there was 22 teams entered. And you compare that with the South Island teams run not very long ago online, 58 teams entered.
Mariana.
Wow. It's pretty telling numbers, I think, really.
Alan Morris. He tackles the area of membership and, yep, it's declining. Our lesson numbers aren't that high this year, and although the club has committed to run another set later in the year, we've got 8 this time round, but we're starting one set in March and another set at the end of April. We're having to really bend the way that we deliver the programs to interest. Cambridge have got a fantastic number. They have 50 registered, so that's over the 2 slots that they do. They do a night and an afternoon session. That's awesome.
Once again, if it's retaining them is going to be the thing, but Cambridge are probably quite good at that sort of thing. We'll see how they go.
Financial position? Well, that's probably blah.
Sounds like their financial position is okay, but like everybody else, the cost of living is rising.
And they've got to send all these people to Buenos Aires.
I did say they're going to re-engineer their website. It'll be interesting. Look for a change in the New Zealand Bridge website.
They've been able to list the future roles and who does what. It's always good to know who does what.
It's all there.
Yeah, the Congress. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? It looks like we're not returning to Bay Park. But I'm wondering if we've got an out, because if we don't find anything for next year, Barry, where are we going to go? They won't.
Well,
they'll definitely have a plan B on that.
I mean, we all know how difficult it is to find a venue that will is big enough and can handle everything we need for Congress. So while 2024 is the last year of their contract, probably not so easy to find somewhere new, even if they did want to move, I imagine. But hey, look, we're only speculating, Marianne, and neither of us are on the Congress committee, but I'm sure the Congress committee is working really hard to make sure there's somewhere for the 2025 Congress.
But is Bay Park really that bad? See, I don't think so. I drive to it, go inside, play bridge, get back in my car, and then we go to dinner. You either eat out or you don't. You eat at home. I mean, you take your lunch. If you picture it, it's exactly the same as going to Gold Coast Congress. You leave your motel, you catch a light rail up to the convention centre, walk and play your bridge, go out, and you go out and have dinner.
Actually, quite interesting you should compare it with the Gold Coast, because I was sitting at the Gold Coast Congress with somebody I know quite well, an Australian player, I hasten to add, and he said, the thing about this venue here at the Gold Coast is, he said, it's got no soul. That's what he said. And I sort of feel like maybe
Bay Park is falls into that.
You know, there isn't anywhere to sit around and yak or even eat.
Yep.
It's even worse than that point of view. There's virtually no food at Gold Coast.
Mind you, you only have to walk across the road and then you're in the thick of it. That does have a lot of bearing for it, because you don't need to go far or walk far to get any type of food. As Bay Park, you have to drive.
They do have that little cafe there, so people can eat there. So it's certainly better than Gold Coast from that point of view.
They got ice cream
where? Gold Coast, have they?
No, ice cream at Bay Park.
Yeah, they have some food available there. I don't know. It certainly, I would say that the 2023 Congress, I don't think it was one of the more popular ones, shall we say.
Well, true. There's a couple of format stuff going on there. But that's way above my pay grade, Barry.
And mine. We've got to be careful. We're getting in trouble here.
It's on the newsletter, so it's topical.
Yep, indeed.
Okay.
So anyway, presently investigating available options for 2025 and beyond. I mean, they don't say it definitely won't be at Bay Park. I mean, I think it's good that they're always looking at improving things.
Absolutely.
It'll be a big ask for them to find a suitable venue.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
G'day.
Hi.
She's lucky. She's got two questions this week.
Two for the price of one, Julie. The first one, the option goes, one no Trump. Pass. Two spades. Pass. Before South bids, North says you need to alert that.
Yeah.
Probably not in the director's favourite list of things to do, but anyway. Then it goes pass three clubs, and North says, I suppose I have to alert that too. North was a very talkative person, really, weren't they? But anyway. And North now bids three diamonds, and South bids five diamonds, making six. The question is, I guess it all goes back to this two spades, you need to alert that.
Yes, well, there are some simple rules in bridge, and they are, you are not allowed to tell your partner what to do. At the end of the hand, feel free to have a discussion about it, preferably away from the opponents who really don't need to hear all of this, but you cannot tell a partner. And I know that we panic and that we want to stop things going wrong, and we try to prevent that happening, but you cannot tell your partner about what happens here. So the question here immediately is, has South remembered what two spades means because they haven't alerted it, or have they forgotten what it means?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because if they have forgotten what it means, they would have passed. And if they pass, they will be playing in two spades. Now, bridge is one of those horrible things where you are presumed guilty rather than innocent. So there will be people who are playing who will know generally what other people from their club play and what their experience is. So you can get some idea of what the situation might be, whether it's just simply not alerting it or whether it's a case that they have forgotten. And it is really, really important that when bids don't mean what they say, that they get alerted. And it should be general practice for all clubs that bids that have a meaning other than those allowed by New Zealand Bridge not to be alerted should always be alerted. And there's some stuff around that that I won't go into tonight. So one no trump pass, two spades pass. So if North was quiet, question is, would South have bid or not? And it's not what North-South are going to say here, because clearly North will be positive their partner will have bid, despite the fact that they reminded them.
Yeah.
All right. So at a certain point of experience, you would expect long-term partnerships, even if I played with Barry. I doubt very much that if I was thinking, I know that I have to alert two spades and I'm going to do something else and I'll be thinking about what my bid means. That is years and years of experience about one no trump, two spades cannot ever be natural. But if I'm a beginner and I'm still learning and I've got two diamonds as transfer to hearts and two hearts as transfer to spades, but I'm not necessarily at that point now where I'm bidding two spades as a transfer to something else or rangefinder. So it is not clear about what the situation would be. So in this case, generally, the result would be then playing two spades for whatever result that would be, and certainly not playing five diamonds, making six and getting that score. Now, there will be some stuff that is doubtful around this. So a director might award a percentage score about how probable it is of the various things happening to make it a wee bit fairer. But if you haven't alerted and your partner tells you what you are going to do, there is no way, unless you can prove to 100% satisfaction to the director that there is no issue here, that you are going to be allowed to do something. Your partner is not allowed to tell you what their bid means. And that is what they've done when they've said you've got to alert it. Right? Now, when I first learned transfers, I think the first result I got was minus 1400 because I forgot what it meant. I think I might have supported. I don't know, but it went to hell in a handbasket, to put it politely. But I learned the hard way.
You must have got quite high without realising it, by the sounds.
Yeah, we were just in a very bad contract. Ooh. A very long time ago. I'm sure that my partner at the time has never forgotten either, because he would have had to play it.
That was the hand before the throwing of the cards.
No. It was way before that. Way before that. So I lived in a different part of the country.
Second question is this the most helpful dummy in New Zealand, do you think? So the declarer has played the first 11 tricks. He's in a two-level contract, and he's got two tricks to go, and he needs them both. And at that point, the helpful dummy picks up the two cards from dummy, turns them over and says, making two.
Seriously?
I haven't heard of that before.
Okay, so the last question, when South bid three clubs, the director should have been called. This question, when dummy claimed, which dummy is absolutely never, ever, ever allowed to do. And I have played with some people who are slower than the worst week I've ever survived, all right? And I still am not allowed to claim as dummy, despite the fact at trick two, I so want to do that so I can get some time to play the hand. So dummy is called la morte in French, which is the debt, because they are not allowed to do anything at all except play the card director calls and try to prevent the clearer committing an infraction. Committing a serious playing error is not an infraction. It is stupid and it is wrong, but it is not against the rules of bridge. So you cannot stop your partner from going light in a contract because you know it should be making. And dummy has time to concentrate on all the cards from a relaxed point of view. So very often, dummy knows what the right thing to do is. And some of our players that are trying very hard to see what is happening actually badly indicate cards from dummy at times when they are dummy, because they know what declarer should be playing.
Yeah,
they are not allowed to do that. They are not allowed to claim. And if declarer could have gone wrong by playing the cards in a different order, Gee whiz, guess what the ruling's going to be? No doubts here whatsoever. And because it's a really, really bad thing to do. At the least, the people that have made the comments here or claimed would be getting told off by the director because they should never, ever do these things.
I'm just imagining a world where Dummy could participate in the play. Can you imagine the bedlam going on?
There are some people that you play with that always want to tell you how to play, don't they? I mean, what would you do? You'd just find a different partner. You just wouldn't be able to cope. So when things first go wrong, so when the North Hand said to the South Hand, it should have been alerted. And when Dummy said making the rest, at that point, everyone else at the table should have their hands up screaming for the director. Don't care where you are, whether you're the partner or the opponents. You're putting your hand up and calling the director because someone has done something that they absolutely cannot do.
I was just going to say that I knew that Judge Julie was going to be horrified by some of the things that happened at the coalface of New Zealand Bridge.
I've seen things that happen, not news.
So as soon as they said that the two spades should be alerted and the director comes to the table, what is the director going to do?
Well, depending on what, you need to be convinced that the person that south would know what two spades meant when they have not alerted it. All right.
And if they say undiscussed, what
then
happens?
Playing two spades. If they have no agreement, why would they bid?
Yeah.
Right. So you can't tell your partner what to do. The only information you're allowed to have is from the bidding and the play. And if you forget what the bidding means, and there are times we all forget what the bidding means, and sometimes it is horrendous what happens. I played years ago and I was playing Leaping Michaels for the first time. So my partner, they bid two hearts or something. My partner leapt to four clubs, which meant clubs and spades. And I sat there and I knew that four clubs meant something. I was 100% that we had an agreement about what it meant. But for the life of me.
You couldn't remember what it actually meant.
I could not remember what it was. So at the end of the day, I passed. Right? Now, we had an agreement. So it's not about the agreement. It is about what the person who's about to make a bid or a call thinks they know about what is going on. And if they haven't alerted a bid, that is a transfer, presumably to a minor at this stage. If they haven't alerted that, why suddenly know that they remembered what it meant if their partner had not said a word? It's just wrong. The opponents are sitting there and watching people talk across the table at each other about what they've got, and they are just not allowed to do that.
Right? Yeah.
And you do it for good reasons. You do it because something really bad is about to happen. People do it when they're playing Michaels for the first time and their partner makes a bid and they know that it's all going wrong. But you're not allowed to do things just because partner hasn't alerted something correctly and you know that they have forgotten. That you are not allowed to do.
Okay. No.
One of the things to do is if your partner was at one end of the room and you were at the other end of the room, so like you've got screens across, so you cannot see or hear what your partner is doing, but you get the bidding pad to see the bidding, and what would you do? That is what is going to happen. And as for Dummy claiming, wow. I actually haven't seen that one. I've seen the other one. I have not seen Dummy claiming, and I'm impressed, but it's a very good way of going one light or two light when you were making the contract. So please just be quiet.
What you're saying, Julie, is even though you're impressed that you're not recommending that all around the country, dummies don't start claiming.
That's right.
If they want to play with the partner they've got, you're not going to make any contracts, really.
Okay, thank you, Julie.
Okay.
All right, Jules, thanks. See you next week.
Bye.
What book are you reading?
A book that I bought at the Gold Coast, Mariana.
Oh, really?
I looked at it and thought Mariana is going to really like the title of this bridge book.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Bridges First Hippie.
First what?
Hippie.
Hippie is sheep and Māori.
This is an American who's written this. So he's talking about hippies. He's talking about flowers in your hair in the streets of San Francisco. He had a ponytail and bell-bottom trousers, Mariana.
I'm sure you would have probably been close to a ponytail and bell-bottom trousers when you started, wouldn't you?
Not in a million years.
Tell me about your book.
I'm only up to about the fourth or fifth chapter. I'll report more next week, but it's quite an entertaining book. This guy has won 3 World Bridge Championships and 25 North American titles and became a member of the Bridge Hall of Fame in 2004. Entertaining guy. He's been part of the great teams back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Been around for a very long time. I will report that. Well, they talked about him. He was bringing that sensibility and dress style to the staid bridge scene is what they talked about.
Hey, you know what? I've found a way to get to Argentina.
How are you going to get to Argentina, Mariana?
The World Bridge Federation Women's Online Spring 2024 Festival. It's on BBO. The winner and a partner of their choice will be awarded free entry to the Women's National Pairs Championship in Buenos Aires.
Got news for you, Mariana. What? Getting there. You're going to cost you a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's a way. I'm pretty sure this is the event that Scott Smith's wife won 1 year. Is that right?
I think we should call her Debs instead of Scott's wife.
Okay. Deb Smith then won it 1 year, I think.
I could be wrong here, but she might have won it 2 years in a row.
She could have too. We should find out. Well, anyway, it's the 28th edition of that online festival. First took place in 2008, for God's sake.
Did you play in the first one?
Haven't played in it at all.
I don't think you were playing bridge when the first one was held, if it was the 28th edition.
No, that was 2008. No, God, no. Didn't even know how to spell bridge.
28th one then, because that'd only be the sixth. That's only 16 years ago.
Oh, maybe it was face-to-face at one stage. No, it can't be. This will be the 28th edition of the WBF Women's Online Festival. The first Women's Online Festival took place on BBO in 2008. It's a joint venture between BBO, BBO Italia, and the WBF Women's Committee.
Maybe they have 2 a year, Mariana.
Oh, that'll be the answer, Einstein. So what you do is that instead of playing the normal 7 games per day, it's increased to 12 games per day, hoping that this allows women from all over the world to join and participate in the fun, regardless of their time zone. So that's cool. I think I'm going to play on that.
So you're going to be full-time, Mariana, playing 12 games a day. You won't have time to sleep.
Monday, April the 8th to Sunday, April the 14th. You can play as many games as you like. Your top 10 result for the duration of the event will be taken into account for final rankings. How about that, Barry?
I seriously don't know whether we should be promoting a sexist event like that, Mariana. I'm offended.
Oh, come on. You could be Dane Possum. What was her name?
Dame Edna Everidge. I haven't got any glasses like that.
I could find you some. We had the Hamilton Intermediate and the Junior and Novice. We had a table of novices that did turn up. And one girl came all the way from the Hawke's Bay. She came from Taradale Club. I don't know what she was doing up near us. She came up for one session.
She must be a little bit disappointed to find out there was no novice section. Come all the way from Taradale. It was a bit unfortunate, really, is that it was pretty hard to enter the novice section. It was not easy.
We had 2 pairs, so they joined in with the juniors.
So the winners of the intermediate pairs were Robin Stevenson and Deirdre Oliver from
East Coast Bays, yes.
And second from Hamilton, Trini Lynn and Catherine Cameron. Mm-hmm. We might as well give it a plug, Mariana. I know they'll complain we're talking about Hamilton again. They can only shoot us. And in the junior pairs, Ludmilla Watts and Heather Sharp from Matamata. Pretty good scores. They scored 58.98 and followed it up with 64.95.
Wow.
Second one, Mark Birchich and Gabrielle Birchich from North Shore.
And they came and introduced themselves to me. They listened to the show, so a big shout out to you.
Well done on coming second in the pairs.
And yes, and the novice winners, they got a copy of Paul Marsden's book, The Language of Bidding.
And so that was that Shirley and Tilak? So Shirley
Diamada.
Diamada and Tilak Diamada? Yeah. Well done to them.
I tell you what. We had a junior that was so keen to come and play in the tournament, turned up at 8:45. Tournament started at 10.
Oh, that is so commendable.
Isn't that great? Club member. And I said, oh, that's all right. What are you going to do? And he says, oh, I'll hang around. I said, all right, well, I've got a job for you. Sold our raffles for us. Did a great job as well.
Okay, if only everybody was that keen. 8:45, I'd be lucky if I get there by 9:45, Mariana.
I'm not going to comment on that. And to close the show, Barry's going to give us a tip.
A quote that I remember hearing from somebody was, when you're a declarer and you look at the dummy, we all know you should be making a plan at trick one as to what you're going to do, how you're going to play it. The tip is, when you think of a plan of how you're going to play it, have another look and see if you can find a better one.
Really? You don't like plan A, you want a plan B?
You might think of something better.
Wow.
To be honest, I would say that a fairly high percentage of players don't have a plan A, Mariana, let alone plan B.
They just tangle it as they go. A lot of players just
look at the dummy and start playing cards without actually figuring out what they're going to do. So I guess my real tip is just have a plan and remember what it is. You had a plan at trick one. You know, you should know what you're doing. Things can change a little bit. But you need to make a plan at trick one and remember what your plan is.
That sounds great. Okay, I've sent an email out, Mel Auld, communication and marketing person, NZ Bridge. And I also, Barry, sent out an email to Matt Brown, seeing if he's got some time for us to figure out what him and Andy are up to and give us a catch up on what they're doing and what their bridge life looks like at the moment.
So Matt Brown, Andy, two of our international players. Matt Brown's in the Open team this year to go to Buenos Aires with Michael Whibley. They are overseas at the moment. I'm not quite sure how long for, but it's quite a while. Also speaking to Michael Weir, who we've been threatening to have on the show for ages, he's happy to come on. So we've got them lining up, Mariana. We'll have to get ourselves organised and get these people on the show.
Will do. Well, take care. Have a plan, Barry says, or make a plan. And let us know how your plans go. And if they don't work, send us an email, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Hey, well done to Carol DeLuca, the newest Strand Master.
Yeah, pretty good. She was counting them down while we were over at Gold Coast.
As you do. So she's made it anyway. She's immortalised as a grandmaster.
Nice. Well done, Carol. See you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.